Hey, it's good to be with you guys. As you heard, I'm Alex. I lead the Young Life mission here locally. Been partnering here with the church at Gold Coast for over 5 years. And so I share with you this morning with lots of gratitude in my heart for you. And even as a member of this church, as a brother in Christ, right? So I'm your brother in Christ. And so I come from that place this morning to share what God has given me to share this morning. And it's such an honor and a privilege. I get to kind of put an end cap on this study of the book of James. And my desire is that I would be able to communicate effectively and that, you know, next week we start into these hot topics, right? But before we get there, I think we need to seal the deal with James here because I really believe James is really an important book for all believers. At all times, James is probably the book that I've preached from the most throughout my time in ministry. And it's because it's so practical and it's so challenging to the heart. And God's people really need that type of instruction. So I'm so grateful for the book of James. Now, Pastor Lewis left off last week on the power of prayer. Power of prayer. Anybody think we need power in the church to pray? Yes, we do. Imagine a hospital that has no doctor. Imagine you were in a hospital and there's no doctors. That'd be pretty sad, right? I always think of, the airplane where they give you the instruction on the mask and they tell you to put on your mask first, right? Before you put it on your child. And the thought is, hey, you can't help anybody unless you help yourself first, right? Unless you have the right oxygen first. And so I think about that with the body of Christ. I think about the power of prayer. I think about when God says, pray. You know, if you're weak, pray, right? And there's times when we're weary and we could still pray for ourselves, right? And it's awesome. And God refreshes us. Now, there's times when we're like fallen soldiers and we're so weary in the battle that we can't even pray. We don't even want to pray. And that's when we need God's people, right? That's when we need people that are spiritually healthy to come around us and pray and give us some refreshment. And so we really need spiritually healthy people in the church because that's how the weary can get restored. We need that spiritual help. And then if the weary, and this will lead us right into our passage today, and that'll be in James chapter 5 and verse number 19. If there's weary people among us, what happens next if they don't get refreshed? And I think that James is closing his epistle by talking about the wanderer, the one that leaves the faith. And that's a threat, especially for people in the church that are struggling, and there ain't nobody to help them. Because everybody else is struggling, maybe. Or maybe there's no relationships being built to where they can actually trust and be able to express that to somebody that can help them, that can refresh them. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. Turn to James chapter 5 and verse number 19. And this is what it says, James chapter 5 and verse number 19. Let me pray. Father, today's passage is love the wanderer. And that's your heart, that your people would be trusting you, full of faith, and helping other people that are weary, and helping to bring back those that wander away from the faith. Lord, you have a heart for people, and you don't wish that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, Lord, help us to develop that heart for you, and help us to understand, as a family in Christ, how we can be part of this solution to stay spiritually healthy for the sake of others. So once again, it's in your name we pray and we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Okay, verse 19, look at what it says, James 5. By the way, the scriptures will be up there on the screen. I'm reading from the NASB. So each scripture that will be up there will be from the NASB. And verse 19 says this in James 5, my brothers and sisters, if anyone among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that the one who has turned a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And we see James's heart here. Now, let me say a couple things before we look at that, at what he just said here, how he just ended his letter. James is a humble man. If you remember at the beginning of the epistle, he says, I'm the bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he was the Lord's brother. He was Jesus's brother. You think he would pull rank, right? And say, hey, I'm James and I'm Jesus's brother, by the way, right? But he doesn't. He says that he's a slave of his brother, of Christ. But it tells you that this man who speaks, I mean, if you want somebody to tell you like it is, that's James. He ain't like Paul. Paul goes around it, right? That's more my style. I go around and try to explain everything, and then I think of questions you might have, and I'm answering them already as I'm speaking. But James, he's a straight shooter. He tells you like it is. But it's not without humility. He's a humble man. And he's also full of authority. If you study Acts chapter 15 and the Jerusalem Council, you find out that even the apostle Peter is up there testifying, right, about the issue at hand, you know, salvation without works and that kind of thing. They're settling that dispute. But even Peter is up there, you know, testifying and going back and forth. And you know who rises up at the end and makes a decision? It's James. That whole early church, they respected James. And you know why he was such a strong leader? It seems like he even had more authority than the Apostle Peter in the Jerusalem Council. He's the one that handed down the judgment. And I believe that he was put in that position because of his humility. And because he was a straight shooter, right? Sometimes we do need to be straight shooters. Because people's lives are on the line, right? And so I want you to know that about James. And I also want you to know that James is, along with his humility, he's very compassionate. And I call him a doctor. He's a compassionate doctor. I've always thought of James as a doctor. You know why? Because his letter is full of heart examinations. If you really look at what he's saying, it causes us to really think about where we are at in our own faith. And so with that in mind, and I'll close with some of those thoughts at the end, but look at verse 19. It says, if anyone among you strays from the truth. Now, anyone among you, he's talking about believers. He's talking about people. Of course, he's talking to the scattered Jewish believers that are out there, right? But he's talking to believers. And so, if anyone strays from the truth or wanders from the truth, goes astray, it carries the idea of being deceived, deception. Deceived away from what? Deceived away from the gospel truth, right? Now, question, and this is the first question on your little paper if you have it that for notes. The first question is, how can people that have faith go astray? How can people that have faith, because that's what he's talking about, anyone among you, the believers, goes astray? How can people of faith go astray? Now, understand, when he says this, if anyone among you goes astray, he's stating it as a statement of possibility. It's a statement of possibility. See, if anyone among you goes astray, could that be true among us? Could there be somebody even here today that one day just goes astray? Yes, it is. It's quite possible. One other thing that's very important to note about this, and so you understand, is where James is coming from, is three audiences. You really get that from the book of Hebrews. If you read through the book of Hebrews, you understand that he's talking to three audiences. Some people that come and they don't really have much faith. They may be somebody that somebody dragged to church, right? Or somebody that said, I'm just going to check it out. Or a circumstance happened in their life and they're like, man, I'm going to go to church, see what happens. But they don't have much faith yet. And there's people like that that are amongst the believers, right? And Among the believers are also people, especially in the book of Hebrews, you have these Jewish believers that are hearing about Jesus Christ, and they're having to let go of their Judaism, right? Their belief in the way they practice their religion. And they're being asked to put their faith in Christ instead, right? And some of them are like in the middle. Some of them are like, oh man, I'm gonna lose everything if I leave my brothers and sisters in Judaism. If I go all the way to Christ, oh man. And so some people are caught in between. But I think that happens to believers here, Christians too. I think there's people that say, yeah, I have faith. Yeah, I know this is true. I know what they're saying is true, but oh man, I don't know if I can do this completely. I don't know if I can fully commit to this. There's people in the middle. And I believe that James recognizes that. And of course, there's believers that are fully committed to Christ, right? So you have these three audiences, and that's why I think that's important to understand as to why somebody would wander away. But let's think about that. The question, how can people that have faith go astray? The first thing I want to mention, and I'll put up Isaiah 9:16, is there has to be a responsibility with the teachers, with the preachers, wouldn't you say? Yeah, because if you don't get good teaching, if you get teaching that is unfaithful to God, listen, that can cause people to go astray. So that's why even James, in James 3:1, he says, let not many of you be teachers, because to you will be the stricter judgment. Like, you got to be careful what you're saying to people and what you're teaching, because you could be leading people astray. So I want to bring to mind Isaiah 9:16. Of course, there's all kinds of scriptures we could be using, but we're not going to do that. I only got 30 minutes, you know, and at this point, only 20. So, but I am going to give you guys some clear scriptures that can help us to understand, okay? Look at Isaiah 9:16. For those who guide this people are leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are confused. Man, do we want God's people confused? No. God is not the author of confusion. The evil one is. We want clarity. And you see why sometimes it's so important to be a straight shooter like James. Like, tell it like it is, you know? Tell me my condition. I want to know where I'm at. Why is everybody always dancing around that? So the preachers have a big responsibility to be faithful. And what do I mean by unfaithful? I really believe that there's preachers and people that are teaching in the name of Christ that are, we start massaging sin a little bit. You know, sin is destructive. It's a destructive force. And yet, because we sometimes want to people please, maybe, perhaps, we want to dumb it down a little bit, and then people stay in their sin. They say, oh, it's okay, brother. You know, where sin abounds, grace doth more abound. They'll quote some scriptures to make you feel like it's okay for you to stay where you're at. But I think it's important for us to not only pray for our brothers, but to tell them, hey, there's freedom in Christ. Come on, man. Let's go get to the Word of God. We need Christ. You know, come on, get up and join me. Like, they need encouragement. They need to trust in God, right? But I think sometimes we allow for those things where we just start preaching in a way that is very heavy on God's love, but not on the responsibility that God calls us to. And I believe that that happens, and sometimes we can be unfaithful to God with that. And then there's another thing. Look at Matthew 22:29. I'll put it up on the screen. I think there has to be, along with that good teaching, there has to be power that is being taught. Power. Look at what Jesus says. Now, the Sadducees, they were trying to trap Jesus here, right, toward the end of his life. And, you know, they were going over this thing about marrying your brothers, you know, marrying for a woman, if they married somebody, they didn't have kids, and then marry the brother, try to have an inheritance, right? And so it was part of their laws. They're trying to trip up Jesus. Okay, if seven of the brothers married this person and none of them, you know, they didn't produce children, then they go to heaven, what brother's going to marry her? What brother is married to her? They're trying to stump Jesus because they don't believe in the resurrection, the Sadducees. That's why they were sad, you see? Because they didn't believe. So they didn't believe. But listen, they didn't believe in the power of God. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They only really banked their beliefs in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Now listen, they were all about the here and now, and they were in the temple making all kinds of money because they were all about the here and now. And so you know what Jesus says this to them. He says, but Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken since you don't understand the scriptures nor the power of God. You don't understand the power of God. Can God break the power of sin in your life, in my life? Yeah, I'm a witness. I was a drug dealer. I was a drug addict, right? I was a gambling addict. I was an alcoholic. And Christ set me free by the power of God. Now listen, that's the power of God. It's the power of God. That I'm still a sinner. Ask my wife. I'm still a sinner. But listen, he broke the power of being a slave to my sin. Because when I was a slave to my sin, I couldn't serve God. But when Christ set me free and broke that power over my life, I have freedom now. I'm free in Christ. I can serve God. And there is power in God. And I think along with good, solid teaching, we need to preach there's power in God. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that true? Is that true? Now listen, in God, and Paul concludes this because people were getting legalistic because that's another issue, right? Legalism, because it traps you into thinking that what you do is going to bring the grace of God to you. It's not what you do that brings the grace of God to you. It's what you believe and how you trust God. It's a personal relationship that ushers down the grace of God in your life and breaks the power of sin. Because grace is not just unmerited favor. Grace is the power of God. Paul says, hey, I did all these things, but I'm not boasting. Hey, everything I did by the grace of God. I did by the power of God. God did it in my life. God did it through me. God's power doesn't come from what we do. It comes from our relationship and what we believe and who we're trusting. Now, let's just say that because now we're talking about why people stray, right? Or why people are wandering. Well, first of all, the responsibility of teaching and preaching and telling people about the power of God, right, that's available to set them free and they don't have to stay where they're at. But if you could be a faithful preacher and you could be preaching the power of God and you could be preaching faithfully through the scriptures, but doesn't it take two to tango? It takes two to tango. Everybody knows that. So what else pulls people astray? Well, they're not listening. They're not obeying the scripture, right? That's why James says, be a doer of the word. Don't be just a hearer. Hey, there's people listening to God's power. There are people listening to, hey, it's available for all of us, God's grace, but not everybody's taking a hold of it. Not everybody wants to believe it. And not everybody wants to change, right? That's the big thing. That's what makes the gospel so offensive is not everybody wants to change. It's easier to plant yourself in a, you know, some type of religion and then just kind of do some things and then feel good about yourself than to really deal with your heart and say, God, I'm not right. Please, God, come into my life. I'm ready to change, man. Use me. I want to live for you, God. See, what stops us from really giving our life to God, really giving our heart to God versus just kind of practicing a little bit of faith and doing some religious things? It's easy to do that. It's a lot easier than really dealing with our hearts, right? And so that's what's at stake. Now, what we already know, we're not going to go into how the things that can pull us astray. Of course, people pull us astray, right? A person can pull you astray. I deal with young people all the time. You get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and next thing you know, they're gone, right? A lot of things can happen. Circumstances can pull you away, right? You get tempted, you start falling away from your faith. Trials, money, I mean, you name it, stuff. There's all kinds of things that could pull us away. Even if we're getting good, faithful preaching, we could pull ourselves away with the things that we get distracted by. Look at verse number 20. Well, I'm actually still on verse 19 because it says, someone turns him back. Notice that term, and someone turns him back. So anyone among you that strays from the truth and someone turns him. No, notice that that's an individual. Someone. See, we could be here preaching, right? And yeah, the power of God can come and grab a hold of your heart and say, you're not right. You need to come to me. You need to, repent and come to me, right? That can happen for sure. But notice how when somebody totally wanders, if you wander and you completely stray, listen, you need more than even just the preaching, because you could show up to the preaching and you ain't getting anything. Your heart can be so hard that the word's just falling on hard ground. So it takes individuals. That's why James says if someone, it takes someone with a relationship with you that could speak into your life, come on, man. Come on, you know this is the right way. You're headed toward destruction, man. Come on, please. We got to be truthful to each other. We got to be truthful. And we got to know each other in relationship where we can actually speak that way to each other. And that's what it takes. So if someone turns him back, because remember, the deceived, if you're deceived, you're deceived. You don't know you're deceived, right? That's why you're deceived. But listen, a faithful person, a faithful Christian can bring you back. And God will supply the power through that faithful Christian by praying and also by telling you the truth through the Spirit. And God will use you to help bring people back. And look at verse 20. I'm on verse 20. Let him know that person that's bringing people back, that the one who has turned a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now the stakes are high. The stakes are high because this is talking about somebody who had never fully committed to Christ. And their soul, they could lose their soul. It uses the word soul. That means a spiritual death. That's the worst of the worst, to be lost eternally. You see how high the stakes are and why it's so important to heed to this, to help people that are losing their life eternally? And there's people that come that are amongst us and haven't made a full commitment, and that's where they're headed. Now, question, how do we know who needs to come back? Man, before they completely wander away physically, because people wander spiritually before they wander away physically, right? Look at 1 John 3:7-9, because this will give us a clue as to, you know, what we're talking about as far as who strays. Who should we be looking for? 1 John 3:7-9. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. What did he do? He destroyed the works of the devil. See, there's power in God. And you're either living for God or you're living for the devil, right? And he's a straight shooter too, John. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who has been born of God practices sin. That means that you're not habitually in sin, that people don't look at your life and, man, this person's just caught up. They're just caught up. They're a slave to sin. That's what this is saying. No one who has been born of God practices sin, because his seed remains in him. The Holy Spirit's right there getting you out of it all the time. And it says his seed remains, and he cannot sin continually because he has been born of God. So that helps us to understand that when there's people among us and we just see habitual, and they can't get out of it, like, hey, this person needs my prayers. Hey, this person is in jeopardy. They're here right now hearing the truth, but they're continuing in what they're doing, and they really need me to pray for them, because in due time, they could be gone. And of course, you know, like I said, spiritual defection happens before the physical defection, because in 1 John 2:19, it says, they went out from us because they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be evident that they were not all of us. Not all of them were from us. And that proved it, right? When they came, when they left, and I'm not talking about just a particular church, the faith. When they left the faith and they never came back. And imagine that there are people that are wandering this way. Now, it continues on in James in verse 20. It says, the one who has turned a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And you know why? Because as you bring him back to faith, Listen, that person repents and says, oh gosh, what am I doing? What have I been doing? How did I do this? And they repent, they come back to the Lord their God, and God heals them. And God forgives their sins. And they come back to the fold. And what a beautiful thing. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches do not benefit on the day of wrath, but righteousness rescues from death. How do we receive the righteousness of God? Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. That's it. It's a relationship with the living God. God, I'm straying from you. Where am I at? God, please help me. Save me. And we come back to God. So the main question, and this is your third question there, your main question is, how can we keep from straying, right, ourselves? And even when you're a committed believer, you could stray for a season or stray momentarily. And we even want to stop that, right? Because we want to stay faithful and stay healthy so we can help others, right? So the last question, how can we keep from straying and how can we bring the wanderer back? We want the power to do that, right? Well, like we said, we need good sound teaching. We need humble obedience to Christ from God's people. And we need God's power. We definitely need that. In Matthew 18:3, it says, and said, this is Jesus speaking regarding salvation. He says, truly I say to you, unless you change and become like a little child, a children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, you got to be a humble, obedient believer. Unless you change. I remember I was 33 years old when I got saved, and I felt like a little kid. God, please teach me. I messed up my life. I ruined it. Like, please, like, teach me. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? Please, God, save me from myself. See, that's what it takes. It's a life where you are dependent on God. You're fully dependent on him. And that'll keep you from straying because every day you'll go to your relationship. The relationship you started through repentance and faith is the same relationship you go every day to God. God, how did I do today? I think I messed up. Man, I shouldn't have done that. Man, I spoke the wrong way. Lord, please change me. I'm open for you to keep changing me, God, because I know that's your will. Your will is to transform me and to keep changing me until the day that I see you. See? And that's where we need to be. That's where we need to live. Remember, and I'll close with this. Remember I told you that I feel that James is Dr. James? And I said that because, you know, he examines our heart. And I think when we look at the book of James, and hopefully this also encourages us to get into the book of James from time to time, even though we're done with it for now, but even individually, to examine our hearts, right? Imagine James telling you and starting the book and saying, count it all joy when you're in various trials. See, I got to look at my life and I got to say, man, do I count it all joy? When everything's going crazy, am I counting it all joy? Am I trusting God? Because I know he said this is just momentary, these afflictions. Am I trusting that? That what he has for me is much better and that this is only momentarily? Can I trust him that he's growing me in my faith even when things are happening, that he's doing it for my own good? All things will come together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do I trust God? See, because that examines my heart, right? That helps examine my heart. Where am I at? Where am I at in my faith? How about when God said, do we ask him for wisdom? Hey, when you need wisdom, ask. Sometimes we can run around asking everybody else, right? But when things are going crazy and we can't understand things, do we go, God, I don't understand. What's going on, Lord? See, that's something that, do we do that or we don't? The deceitfulness of riches. Does money have a hold on us, right? Do we blame others or God? When we fall into temptations, imagine Adam. It was that woman that you gave me. Adam, you did this. What happened? Why'd you do this? It was that woman that you gave me. It was her fault. And not only that, you gave her to me, so it's really your fault. Hey, when we fall into things, do we do that? Because that examines our heart, right? Like our heart's not right. And that means we need to repent. That means we need to come back to God. Lord, I'm not right. I just got examined today at church and it's not right. I don't want to live like that anymore. See, how do we respond to God's word? How do we respond to God's word? Are we quick to listen? I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get to the Word of God, man. Oh, man, it's going to be preached today. Oh, I'm going, man. I can't be late. Or are we like, man, I don't even want to hear the Word of God. See, are we quick to listen? Are we slow to speak? Because let not many of you be teachers, or else you'll be a strict judgment. You don't even understand the Word. You're out there, right there preaching to everybody already. No, that's not how we respond to God's Word. Because there's fear of the Lord, right? We can lead other people astray. And then, are you slow to get angry when you hear the Word of God? Are you slow to get angry? Or do you get offended by what God says? Do you still get offended by some of the things that God says in His Word? Well, the problem's not with God. God is holy and He's perfect. And we need to repent and say, God, forgive me. My heart is too hard. This is your truth. This is true. I'm not right. You're right. And we have to deal with our hearts. Do we care for the needy? Pure and undefiled religion is taking care of the orphan, taking care of the widow, the people that need help. Are we doing those things? Do we show partiality, or do we still judge on the outside? Because God is not partial. We are. Are we really loyal to God, or are we friends of the world? Because if we're friends of the world, we're at enmity with God. That's the loyalty test. Are we really loyal to God? Are we humble? Because God exalts the humble, but he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Are we set up as a church to be exalted by God because we remain humble? Because we're listening humbly? That's a test. Do we take God for granted? Hey, I'm going to go do a business. Hey, I'm going to go do this. Do we do those things and God's not even in our plans? He's not even involved in our plans, and we're talking that way, and James, the doctor, says, hey, check your condition. That's not right for God not to be involved in every single thing that you do. Are we honest followers? Is our yes, yes, and our no, no? Are we really honestly following God in the truth? Now, is that sound teaching? Isn't James, God uses him as a spiritual doctor? To examine our condition, and then there, that leads us to what? To repent. Pat, you can come up. I'm really finishing up at this point. Look, as we enter the time of communion, I really believe if we take serious inventory, we're going to really find ourselves repenting and believing in God. And I'm talking about on a daily basis. And God himself not only will keep us from straying, he'll keep us faithful because he has the power to do that. But he will also give us the power to help the weak amongst us, to pray for them. And he will also give us even the power to the one that has strayed and doesn't want to know anything about God anymore right now. He'll give us the power to bring them back. Do you believe that? Well, let's go into communion, and I want you to think about that, because it starts with us. It starts with our heart communion with God. It starts with our heart repenting and putting our trust back on the Lord this morning. And so as we take of the elements, talk to the Lord. Confess your sins. All of us are in the same boat, right? Confess your sins. Be open for God to change you and to transform you this morning. And then I'm believing that as God does that, he's also going to receive power to you to be able to be healthy spiritually so that you can help others. And even if God wills, somebody around you that has gone astray. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your people. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you that it sanctifies us. It's the washing of the Word. The Word of God goes and you cleanse us, Lord. You purify us. And we come to you in communion, God, with our hearts. We come with our hearts. This is who we are. We know who you are. And we come to you ready for change. Lord, bless your people as they talk to you and provide power to them. According to your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. The elements are there for you.